Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good middle of the night, and welcome back to Cases of Color. Hi, you guys. I've realized that there's really no point in me doing a bunch of alibis and things. I've been gone. I've been in a very strenuous course. I've also had a lot of stuff going on in my life. I really want to take this time to talk about the importance of mental health. I think sometimes we feel like we have an obligation to do certain things or to function in a certain way when we truly don't have the mental capacity to do so. And that's kind of how I've been feeling the past 2 months, 3 months, maybe even longer than that. So I'm very sorry for the hiatus. I truly am. But I just wanted to say, if any of you are dealing with mental health issues or you're dealing with depression or whatever it may be, just want you to know that you're not alone. It's okay to not do certain things when mentally you are just trying to keep yourself together and to carry on. I love you, and I'm here for you, and I stand in solidarity with you, and I hope to God that things get better for you. So without me putting all my business out there, that's a little bit on what's been going on with me, and I just hope that if you are out there struggling and you're listening to me, I'm glad you're here, and I hope you know that I'm giving you a nice podcast virtual hug, and I'm here with you. But I am back, thank goodness, and I cannot wait to tell you all about this case. As always, if you are not following Cases of Color on Instagram and Twitter, what are you doing? Like, for real, what are you doing? Please let me know. It's at Cases of Color on Instagram and Twitter. I post all types of things there. I post when the podcast is coming out. I do polls. I take case suggestions. I love just talking to you guys. A lot of you guys DM me and I love it. Also, I do have Cases of Color merchandise out. Some of you guys have been buying your coffee cups and your t-shirts and your masks with Cases of Color on it. You guys have truly been making my day, just your messages, your comments, showing yourself in your gear. So if you want to check that out, the link will be down below. And make sure that you share the podcast, because sharing is caring, sharing is free. And it's important that people know about these cases and they know about these victims and that we are getting justice. So now that we've got all that out of the way, let's get into the podcast. So today I want to talk about somebody named Terrence Williams. Terrence Williams was 27 years old when he disappeared in 2004, and to this day in 2020, he has not been seen since. Terrence was a Tennessee native that moved to Naples, Florida to be closer to his mother. He's very close to his mom. He was not only young, but he was also a father of four children. He drove a white Cadillac. He did have a suspended license at the time of his disappearance from a prior DUI charge. And normally he would use his roommate or his mom to get him to and from work. And he only drove if he absolutely had to. And on the 11th, he drove because he wanted to. Terrence lived with a roommate, and his roommate said that Terrence told him he was going to a party, and later that evening he texted him and said that he was afraid to drive home because there were so many cops on the road. So after that, he was never heard from by anyone again. The very next day, Terrence's roommate noticed that Terrence hadn't returned to the house, and he started to call random numbers in his phones, just of mutual friends, people that knew him, people that knew Terrence, just anybody who might be able to tell him where Terrence was. And when he realized that, you know, nobody's giving him answers, and he knew that Terrence had left around 6 a.m., he decided to send an email to Terrence's mom, because that was the only way he can get a hold of her and kind of let her know what was going on. So after that is when shit really starts to get stinky. So with the help of Terrence's aunt, they were able to locate his white Cadillac to a towing company out there in Naples where he was living at. And when they asked where the vehicle was picked up from, they were told that it was picked up from the Naples Memorial Cemetery because it was obstructing traffic. Now, the people at the towing company handed over the towing bill, and there was a signature that belonged to somebody named Steve Calkins. Steve Calkins was a deputy in Naples, Florida. So his mother reached out to cemetery workers, just anybody she could, to get information about her son. And she found out that they actually saw her son, Terrence, get pulled over in the cemetery, and shortly after that, he was put into the back of a patrol car and taken away. His car was left behind. Now, when Terrence pulled in, though, he did park his car in a parking spot. So, with that being said, you got to think back to when they said it was obstructing the road, right? So, about an hour later, they witnessed Steve Calkins returning and moving the car from a parking spot to the road. Now, why would you need to do that? Because if it's in a parking spot, it's not in the way. But just like they said, it's obstructing the road, and that's the whole reason it was towed in the first place. And also, when the vehicle was discovered, the keys were just laying on the ground next to the car, kind of to make it seem like maybe the car was just left behind on its own. So at this point, with them having this information, Terrence's family started to contact the police department and until they could get a hold of somebody, because obviously they want to know what's going on. Why was Terrence pulled over in the first place? Why was his car moved? And why did the Steve Calkins not have any extra information? And initially, Calkins said that he couldn't even remember arresting Terrence. But about 2 weeks later, when he was forced to do an incident report on what happened that day, he suddenly could remember what happened. And according to Calkin, he noticed that Terrence was driving under distress, as he described it. He said that he followed Terrence into the parking lot of the cemetery and that Terrence told him that he was going to be late for work and asked Calkins for a ride to the Circle K. And if you don't know what Circle K is, because of whatever region in the country or in the world that you live in, Circle K is like a gas station. Like, you can go get snacks, you can get gas. It's just like your simple convenience store. But keep in mind, Terrence didn't work there. So Calkins is saying that Terrence asked to be dropped off at the Circle K where he worked so he could make it to work. But Terrence did not work at a Circle K. After that, Calkins alleges that he dropped Terrence off and Terrence gave him the keys to his Cadillac and told him that the paperwork for the car would be in the glove compartment. Now, Calkins claims that he returned to the car and that the paperwork was not in the car and that he found out that the car was not registered. He said at that moment, he called the Circle K and asked to speak to Terrence, and they told him that Terrence did not work there. Now, they looked further into this case and found even more holes in the story that Calkins gave in his report. Recordings from the dispatch call to get the car towed shows that Calkins called the Cadillac the homie Cadillac, as well as saying maybe he's in the cemetery and he'll come back and his car will be gone. Ha ha ha. He accompanied that statement with lots of laughter, and he also called in at 1:12 p.m. to have them do a background check on Terrence as well. But there was a lot of issues with this shitty ass story, and there's really no other way to put it but that. So let's break it down. Terrence did not and had never worked at the Circle K. Also, when you pull someone over, you call it in, or at least you're supposed to. And why would he ask for a ride when he was perfectly fine in a vehicle that clearly works? Since he was driving. Remember, he said he pulled him over because he was driving under distress, but according to Calkins, he never mentioned that he was under the influence, that there was a reason to take him out of his vehicle and drive him anywhere, for that matter. On top of the fact that he asked the workers at the cemetery if he could leave the car there before pulling off. So Calkins asked that question before coming back and then moving it and obstructing the road. The car was in a parking spot, and this man came back and put it in the road intentionally and then cited on the slip that it was obstructing the road. So he didn't call in the stop. He didn't call in for anything else. He did call in to act like the car had just been abandoned. Very fishy. On top of all the things that made this story 100% full of hog shit, okay? Because let's just keep it honest. This is stinking to high hell. His cell phone records show that none of the alleged phone calls he claims were made happened. And there was no surveillance at the Circle K that put him or Terrence there. None of the workers had even seen him either. The day before, the day of, the day after. So there's a humongous, humongous hole in the story. You don't have phone records showing that you even called the Circle K. And they even said that they didn't even know anybody by the name of Terrence. Didn't see him come in to buy a snack or anything like that. Also, why over the dispatch would he say, if he comes back and sees his car is gone, didn't you drop him off? Deputy Calkins? So the incident report that he made versus what actually happened is just literally not matching up whatsoever. This man most likely did something, I'm going to say allegedly for legal purposes, most likely did something to this young man and didn't even think through a proper story. And that's because he knows exactly what happens to Terrence Williams. And it doesn't stop there. I want to take this time to talk about another young man by the name of Felipe Santos. Felipe was 24 years old at the time of his disappearance. He was a Mexican migrant worker who had been living in the country illegally for approximately 3 years before his disappearance. He worked daily to send money back to Mexico to support his family. He was a big support system for his family before his disappearance. On the morning of October 1st, 2003, about a year before Terrence Williams went missing, about 6:30 in the morning, he was driving to work with his brothers and was in a minor car accident, which led to 3 police being called. When the sheriff arrived, he was cited for reckless driving without a license and proper registration. After that, he was taken in a patrol car, and later that day, when Felipe's boss called the department to post Felipe's bail, he was told that Felipe was never processed into the station. There wasn't even an arrest record. Felipe was never seen again, and to this day, there are no clues as to what happened to him. Now, why is this important? Because the sheriff who took away Felipe Santos that day was none other than Deputy Steve Calkins. He had a similar story for Felipe's family that he had for Terrence's family. He said that he took Felipe from the scene, changed his mind about arresting him because he was nice and cooperative. He said that he dropped off Felipe at, you guessed it, a nearby Circle K, and left him there from that point. And from that point, no one knows what happened to him after that. There was no deep investigation into what happened to Felipe. In my opinion, I feel like there wasn't a deep investigation into it because he was an immigrant. And, you know, if you know anything, you know how people treat immigrants in this country on top of how they treat people of color, black people specifically. So it's not shocking to me that they didn't take the time to look into this and to figure out how this person just disappears after being taken away by a police officer. But are we shocked anymore? Most likely not. So the family filed a missing persons report on Felipe, and they also filed a complaint on Deputy Calkins. And the investigation that was of course done by the same people that worked with Calkins turned up with no results, and it showed that there was no wrongdoing on his part and that he was absolved from any involvement in the disappearance of Felipe Santos. So you're probably wondering what happened with Steve Calkins. Well, he was fired from the force for giving conflicting reports on both of these cases. When Terrence Williams happened and people found out about his family looking into it and the people who were trying to represent Felipe Santos' family, they reached out to the Williams family and let them know about Felipe. From there, that kind of started a fuss about, okay, what's going on? Both of these stories are eerily similar. These two men are missing, gone without a trace. So what happened to them? And Steve Calkins was not only fired for conflicting reports on the case, but he was also fired for not cooperating. But to this day, nothing has happened to him, and there's no justice for the families of Terrence Williams and Felipe Santos. There have been civil suits filed. I know in 2019, a civil suit was filed against Steve Calkins for the family, and it said that Williams is dead. And alleges that Calkins is responsible for the death. And the Santos family was not a part of that litigation effort. And the reason why they were able to continue to do this is because of big names like the renowned civil rights attorney Ben Crump. He's best known for representing Trayvon Martin. If you are anything into activism, you've probably seen him. But he actually announced the lawsuit back in 2019 when it happened. And Tyler Perry actually heard about the story and reached out to Wim's mother, and he's offering a $200,000 reward in the case for anybody who has information about what happened to these young men. Again, there still has only been a motion to dismiss the case, and there really has been no justice for these men whatsoever. So I'm going to tell you what I think happened to these individuals. I honestly believe that Steve Calkins got off on his authority and taking these men and leaving them stranded somewhere. I'm not sure if he's murdering them, but what I do think, and something that I looked into, and it was a theory that someone else, an older officer, had, it's about driving people out into the middle of nowhere, where there's no facilities, there's no anything, leaving them in a deserted place, and then they pretty much just die from being out there. It's too far for them to walk anywhere. It's a road that's less traveled. They'll drive them into a more rural area away from the road. Basically, nobody would find them, and they end up dying. It's almost like how you hear about leaving people in, like, the Mojave Desert and stuff like that, and more mob movies and things of that nature. It's kind of that tactic. And the reason why I think that's something that happened is because I'm not sure if this man is out here murdering these men. I will say this, though. They didn't really do a damn good job of investigating anything for us to really even know that in the first place. So it's very possible that that could be happening, but I can only go off what information I have. I really feel like this man took these men because he felt like they were men that nobody cared about. And that goes back to what I said about how this country views immigrants. People view immigrants as less than. They view them as people who nobody's tracking, nobody's taking care of, or nobody is paying attention to. It's just the same way they treat black women. It's the same way they treat black men, which is that they are not valuable. No one will look for them. Their stories will not become popular. No one will search for them. No one will be able to get news time to talk about them, to talk about their life, to talk about the disappearance of these individuals. So people feel like they can prey on black people and people of color because they feel like there will be no repercussion. And honestly, if there was repercussion, I wouldn't have this podcast in the first place. So I say all of that to say, I truly think this man did something very vile to these men. Either he murdered them and threw them in some type of swamp area because it is Florida, or he took them out to some rural area, because the thing people don't realize, Florida does have big cities, but Florida has a lot of swamp and rural areas and areas that are just open space, open land. I mean, who knows? I don't think these men are still alive. I think these men were killed or intentionally left some there with the intent of them dying. But I feel like this man knew that whatever he did to them, no one would find out about them. And to this day, that man has said nothing about those two. It's very clear that he lied. It's very clear that whatever happened, he is well aware of it because he has these inconsistent stories. And how do you manage to drop off two people almost a year apart, both at the Circle K? Like, that's the only lie you could come up with. I honestly think that Naples, Florida did a horrible disservice to both families when it comes to investigating these crimes and these disappearances of these men, especially when it involves somebody of the force. I understand that police officers, you know, are the original gang. I get all that. But the thing is, when you let that loyalty surpass your duty as civil servants, and when you are not taking the time to investigate what's going on because it is the right thing to do, then I really have a problem with that. And I think that's most people's issue with the police, is that what are you doing to be a civil servant? Your job is to serve the people in your community, the people who pay these bills, the people who pay the taxes. So you want all of our money for nice things or whatever, but you don't want to treat us like human beings if we don't match certain descriptions. And I know some people in these Reddit forums and things have said stuff like, well, he shouldn't have been driving without a license. He would have never gotten stopped. That's the thing. Should you drive without a license? No, you shouldn't. Does that warrant you being missing for 16 years and gone without a trace? Your children growing up without a parent? He already had 4 kids. It's been 16 years. So at least one or two of his kids are at least of age as of right now. And they grew up their whole life without a dad. Wait, before you say something, you need to think about it. All criminals are not somebody who is deplorable and unworthy of love and unworthy of life. People who do the wrong thing, sure, deal with the repercussions of that. That doesn't warrant your death. Like, if I steal a stick of bubblegum, do I need to be shot and killed over that? Or do I just need to get in trouble for stealing a stick of bubblegum? Like, think of the things that you say before they come out of your mouth, especially the things that others around you say as well. And if you're around ignorant ass people, please correct them, because one, nobody has time for that. And two, it's just the wrong way to go about things. So I say all that to say that I really truly hope that by sharing this story with you guys, that it puts it back on the map, because this is just honestly an atrocious abuse of power. And the fact that this man gets to live his life in comfort while there are children and families who are literally without two men that were very important to their family and important part of their support system is just a humongous tragedy, just like the rest of these cases that I covered. So you guys, I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode of Cases of Color. I can't wait until the next one. I love you guys so much. If you are not following Cases of Color on Instagram and Twitter, what are you doing at Cases of Color on both platforms? Also, I got merch. And if you have any merch, please tag me in a photo or send me a photo so I can feature you on the page if you are comfortable with that. Just please let me know. And as always, send me case suggestions, anything you guys want to talk about. And I'm going to be doing a big update episode because there's a few cases that I've covered that have some nice little updates. So I want to slide all that information in there. But as always, you guys have a good evening, a good morning, a good middle of the night. Goodbye.